Weather has been a very popular talking point all growing season long and this harvest season long for farmers and ranchers out there. And so, from a farm business management standpoint, Brian, where does weather play in and how are farmers and ranchers out there handling?
This year, we got a historic late start, at least from how long we've been recording planting dates and everything. And then we just, at least in North Dakota and portions of Minnesota and South Dakota, we just did not get the growing degree days because you don't make up growing degree days in July and August. You make them up in September, early October, right, when it's supposed to be 50, 60 degrees, but it turns out to be 80. And we just didn't get that. We had a wet, cool September. I was out there at Big Iron, and it was 50 degrees and raining for, 3 days. You were probably there yourself, and and that's just kind of how it's maintained. So while we did get the delayed frost, we just didn't make up the growing degree days. So now we're facing an immature crop, and then the wet certainly didn't help the spring wheat harvest. We've heard about all kinds of problems with that, and then tack on a snowstorm, a somewhat early snowstorm, so any that was remaining is probably damaged beyond harvest, and then the wet. I mean, when is it going to dry off so we can get into the fields and get our beans and corn harvested? And then you add all that up to a year when commodity prices aren't that strong. I mean, corn has been up and down this year, but as far as beans and wheat goes, you couple that with the fact that it's probably not looking very promising on yields. And by the way, yields have been what's kind of bailed us out the last few years with low commodity prices. And so it just seems like the hits keep coming. And right now it's I don't want to say bleak, but it's certainly shaping up to me maybe a tougher year than we thought it was going to be.
And so, Brian, how do we take these adjustments and problems we've had to deal with all season long and put them into the financial farm books? Farmers and ranchers even start because they definitely had one plan going into this year, and that plan has changed two, three, five, seven times.
I mean, it's not easy, right? Because if there was just an easy way to make money farming, everyone would do it. What it turns out to be in terms of handling or managing tough financial times is a lot of these decisions were that helped get you through them were one made many years ago or years ago when you decided to not buy that expensive piece of land or decided not to go buy a whole bunch of new machinery or something like that so that you still had some powder left in case things got tough. But that said, I mean, there's nothing anyone can do about that now. So a lot of the decisions on the margins wind up adding up. For instance, pre-pricing propane because you're going to have to do a bunch of drying in the fall, and I can get it for 33% of the cost if I pre-price most of it, or pre-pricing fertilizer, or things like that. Having a very clear-cut marketing plan where as soon as you get to the point where you can ink a profit, you go ahead and take advantage of it because it doesn't appear that there's that many opportunities in any given year to do that. Those are all small things. I wouldn't call them small, I guess. Those are all they're not going to make any no one thing is going to make or break you, but you make these decisions, you do these little things here and there, and pretty soon it adds up to the fact that farmer A he's scraping by, but he's getting by, and farmer B is underwater and having to restructure debt year over year because one is making these management decisions that are going to help them, and the other one isn't.
And so, Brian, I know there are always factors that we can control and that we can't control, but in general, regardless of if we're having a wet year or a dry year or an up year in the commodity markets or a down year, what sort of outlook, financial outlook, do we have going into the next year or two with the farm financials?
I think we're kind of probably looking at, I'd say, more of the same. I mean, we've got this big China trade deal that obviously everyone's aware of. And so to give an accurate picture of what we're going to look like 2 years from now is tough because you've heard reports that there might be a $40 to $50 billion ag purchase by China year over year. That was you know, in the major news outlets, something that was reported. If that happens, we could see some real strength in commodity prices. And it doesn't necessarily matter what they buy. If they're buying pork, poultry, or the raw soybeans or whatever, it's going to strengthen the markets. On the other hand, if we don't have a deal in place, you know, I don't know, it, probably more of the same, building up ending stocks in soybeans or something like that. And then again, maybe we do have a deal and it really doesn't, it only moves the needle for a little while until everyone determines exactly how the market's going to handle it. So there's just a lot of things up in the air right now that that makes it really hard to forecast what may or may not happen.
So as you alluded to, Brian, it's obviously very hard to forecast a long-term outlook or plan. But, you know, to get from now until the end of harvest, if you had one piece of advice for farmers, what would that be?
To get from now until harvest, boy, I don't know. I guess take advantage of whatever time you have that's days that are suitable for field work. Because one of the things that concerns me is that we're going to roll right into another fall like last fall, where fall field work was basically nil in portions of Iowa and eastern Nebraska and up in here, simply because the ground was too wet and we had to wait for it to freeze before we actually got anything done. The other thing I would say is it might be another year to take advantage of CCC loans. Yeah, there's a lot of C's in that. But the commodity credit card loans, take advantage of some of those to meet cash flow needs if you have to. They're available. It's something that we as farmers haven't taken advantage of, you know, in a long time. Not a lot of them have, but this might be another year where we go ahead and do that.
Well, and two, we should also mention it's not too late to get your MFP payment information submitted too, correct?
That's absolutely right. I would hope that most farmers have already done it, but if you have not, I believe the deadline is December 6th, and there's really no reason to delay on MFP this year simply because it's based on dollars per acre, not your production. So whether you file it on the last day to file it or file it now, you're going to get the same amount of money. So there's really no reason to wait, and that money might be another thing that helps you make ends meet as we roll on through harvest a tough harvest season this year.
And so the final piece of information I wanted to discuss with you, Brian, is recognizing farm stress, because with everything we've talked about up to this point, obviously stress is the underlying factor. And so what are just some simple things that we can look for when looking out for our fellow farmers, ranchers, husband, wives, you name it?
Yeah, the real expert on recognizing and handling farm stress from a human standpoint is our own Sean Brotherson. But, you know, I've heard his talk and kind of helped put some of his information out there. But and one of the things I want to, a lot of the people who are going to be on the front lines and recognizing if somebody is having these problems are going to be like your lenders or perhaps even your crop insurance agents and those kind of people who know somebody's financial situation is pretty dire. And having that information, plus then a lot of times a lender might have a client that they've known for 20 years, and so you can see that they're having these financial issues, so you know that for a fact, and then they start acting differently, or they start saying things or you know, detached and all those other physical indicators that may arise, you know, then there's some resources available that we have at NDSU that people can view and see and numbers that can be called if you suspect somebody's in that state of mind.